Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and we're here to continue our recollection series today. A Raven great, Adelis Thomas. We're going to talk about him. Here to do that with me is Jordan Coe. Jordan, how you doing?
Good, Ken. How you doing?
Life's as good as it can be after a frustrating playoff loss that's now, you know, more than a month in the rearview mirror, but still hurts. But anyway, I appreciate having you on. It's always great to talk football with you. And we're talking about one of my favorite Ravens ever, but you're the one who chose him to do as your player that you'd like to discuss. What was your reasoning and thoughts behind that?
Yeah, you know, Adelis Thomas is one of those really fun players. I actually, looking back at it, I actually thought he was undrafted. I don't know why I had it in my mind that he was, but you know, realistically, a sixth round pick is the kind of guy that is in that practically could be undrafted, I think, given the year and the cycle, whatever that looks like. It's genuinely a lottery ticket, and just an absolute physical specimen from kind of every perspective that you'd want to see from a defensive player. Adelis Thomas almost checked one of the boxes here or there in some ability of what he was able to do, but also just a massive player, really big human being. But also one that was smart enough to be able to handle a lot of different positions, had a lot of heart and a lot of drive. And I think I picked him because he just reminds me, you know, when you hear the phrase play like a Raven, Adelis Thomas was always one of those guys to make.
Now, you know, this is interesting because I have Adelis Thomas listed height is only 6'2 and 270 and on Pro Football Reference. I'm not 100% sure that's correct because I remember him kind of being taller than that, certainly having an enormous wingspan to go with that. He played power forward at USM, where he had played Southern Mississippi, that he played both full football and basketball, was the first player ever at that school to do it. And all these measurables are off the charts. I just can't think that he would go, you know, to the sixth round in a draft today.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I thought he was taller than 6'2 as well. And, you know, this was, I guess this is all the RAS metrics and all that stuff existed and people were tracking all of it, but it wasn't as, you know, today, you know, we just finished the combine last weekend, right? And, you know, a guy finishes in the sixth best ever RAS score for this position and they've got his score and all the details of that, you have to think that Adelis Thomas would have been getting a little bit more of attention kind of in that space. But you know, his versatility also was one that, you know, the combine and the measurables and some of those things are, you know, aren't gonna show up on the page in the same way too.
Probably true. I mean, I know at the time there was fear that he'd been a tweener because in addition to being this incredible physical specimen, he'd also been the Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year twice in a row. So that's not a tiny conference. It's not outside the Power Five, but it is at the time it was a good conference. What is it called today? The Sun Belt? Is that the?
I'm not a big college football guy. I wouldn't. Okay. I don't know.
I think that's right. There are a lot of the teams anywhere there, but it's a lot of those teams, Cincinnati and Tulane and, you know, teams like that, that were in that conference. And obviously Southern Miss was one of them, but, you know, it's very strange, but the sixth round of that draft Everybody knows that it had Tom Brady in it, okay? But beyond him, okay, I want to get that around six here. Give me just a second. It had a number of other very fine NFL players. The best, I wouldn't say by far the second best, but Adelius Thomas was probably the second best in the group. The others in that group were Mark Bulger was there, you know, a guy who started for 8 years at quarterback, made two Pro Bowls. Dahani Jones, who started for nine seasons for the Giants. And you had some other guys in there too. Mike Anderson, who would later pay for the Ravens, the running back. He was in the sixth round. It's very unusual to have this much talent. Mario Edwards of Dallas was another thing. Robert Smith, who went to Tennessee, a defensive end. So quite a lot of talent in that round, other than Brady. But if you really want to be specific about it, Adelius Thomas was drafted at number 186 and Tom Brady at number 199. So he was one of the players drafted ahead of Tom Brady.
And you want to start to feel old about some of these things, Ken. T. Martin was, you know, I just pulled up the draft too. It was right at the end of the fifth round of that draft. And so pretty unbelievable that he was drafted in the same year.
Yeah, that's a pick that really didn't work out for Pittsburgh. A zero career AV for T. Martin there. It's like it's good that the Steelers got a bad one there. But anyway, T. Martin obviously made his mark as a coach. He's one of the players, and that 2000 team was really backed up with a lot of talent that they either had to keep on the practice squad or couldn't really get on the active roster. In the case of Adelius Thomas, he was playing a lot of special teams as a rookie that year. But very strange thing, because he won his Super Bowl ring with the 2000 Ravens, never won again, had a chance again with the 07 Patriots, but they blew their 18-0 season to the Giants in the final game, so he didn't win it then. But he was one of four Ravens that year, and this is one of the incredible things about the 2000 Ravens. Four Ravens defenders played more snaps in the postseason than they did during the regular season, which to me is absolutely incredible. But in his case, it was 10 snaps in the postseason and 8 snaps in the regular season. So even though the fact that he was around the whole time, I mean, really remarkable that a player like Adelius Thomas can't force his way onto the field.
And what, I'm looking at the list that you sent of the players that was included in that. And one of those guys is also Anthony Mitchell, which is a nice little, also make you feel old. Yes. The make you feel old recollection podcast.
Yes. There you go. So his son's already playing the NFL, obviously. Brad Jackson, who was, I think he's still around Baltimore somewhere. He was fairly recently, I know, but he was doing a something on Masson, I believe, for a while. And then Larry Webster, who is a University of Maryland guy, in 2000, he was served some sort of a PED or substance suspension for the first 8 games, came back, ended up playing more games in the regular season. More snaps in the postseason. But he had a lot of snaps, both regular and post, that he played. So it's just kind of a weird year, that 2000 season, even though the defense, we think of it as, you know, the great starting 11, there was a lot more nuance to it than that. There was more depth and texture to that defensive unit.
And fun fact about Larry Webster, for anybody who cares, but his son went to my high school around the same time that I did. So, yeah, I'm trying to, maybe he was in middle school. Maybe he was a little bit behind where we were during that 2000 year, but, yeah, his son played it on a little league team with my brother at one point.
Trying to think. So Larry Webster would be right now. He'd been in the league for a while, I guess. He might have been 26, 27, 28 years old at that point. So he was born in about 1972. So that would make him he's about 52 years old, if I had to guess. We could look it up to see his exact age. Does that make sense in terms of the kid's age?
Yeah, well, he was, you know, I just looked him up on Wikipedia. He was born in the same town that I was born in, so it had to be.
There you go. Had to be him.
Sorry, I wasn't born there, but I grew up there. It was Elkton High School. He was born in Elkton, played high school at Elkton, and then went to Maryland.
Well, there you go. So we do have someone, by the way, doing Larry Webster. Brandon Croxton picked him as their player, so this will be a lot of fun to go over some of this stuff. But let's get back to Thomas for a second, because he entered the league, you know, a little bit of a tweener, but he was kind of a 4-3 end. He's a guy who certainly could flex inside. He definitely had the nice first step to do that, the nice long arms when he wanted to get up and try and deflect the ball. But as an outside linebacker is where he really made his mark, because he could cover like nobody. And we really talk about Tyus Bowser currently, and obviously Tyus Bowser missed last year, but when Tyus Bowser last played, he's the best coverage outside linebacker in the NFL, bar none. And I would say Adelis Thomas was every bit as good and possibly a little better. And I there's some very strong evidence for that in the way the Ravens deployed 1 year.
Well, and you'd almost have to consider, I mean, wasn't Thomas listed officially as a safety at one point at a different time? I mean, I think his coverage skills were exemplary in that sense. And, you know, it was almost that he was a better cover guy that just happened to also be pretty good at rushing the passer, too.
And weight, it was 6'2", 270, which is not a safety kind of a weight there. But in that 2005 season, Rex Ryan had a huge number of injuries in the defensive backfield, and they were basically down to three DBs that they wanted to put on the field. They played 265 snaps that year with just three defensive backs, and they could do it because Adelis Thomas and Bart Scott both could take coverage responsibilities as needed. Bart Scott, there's kind of an interesting thing in the 2004 game against the Jets, which is kind of like the precursor to Sound FX, the show that is on NFL Network, that they did all with microphones at the stadium, and they had both radio announcers, but they also had a bunch of players that they had mic'd up. Well, they had Bart Scott on. Mike Nolan calls down to him, says, "Hey, we're out of defensive backs. You got to slide over and cover 83 next series." And what that meant was he was going to have to move to slot corner and cover Wayne Krabet, who had pretty much carved up the Ravens in that game. But that was an interesting moment for Bart Scott. You know, it's just like, it's not a big deal. He went right back to it. Adelis Thomas was the other guy who, fantastic coverage skills, tight end eraser, much too big and too physical for most tight ends. And even, you know, he's no taller than most tight ends, but certainly a lot heavier, and able to maybe play longer from some of his power forward days.
Yeah, and look, I'm a little, you know, I didn't look at his height before we did this, and I'm surprised that he's only 6'2". I mean, and I will talk about other memories later, but there are definitely plays where in front of guys in coverage, he looked like he was 5 or 10 yards in front of them, and the quarterback who was trying to throw it over Thomas couldn't get it over him. And you certainly weren't going to miss him when you were looking. He wasn't one of those guys that disappeared in the coverage. You probably saw him, and he was still playing bigger than that 6'2" looked like.
Yeah, I see one 6'3" in here. I was maybe trying to find combine measurements or something, but let's see if I've got that there. Is it here? Height is 74.4 inches. So that, what that usually means is 74 4/8, which is 6'2.5". So I don't think there's any mistaking it here. It's just remarkable. Did have 33 inch arms. So that may be, you know, that's long for somebody at that height, but that's, strange, really strange. Honestly, I just a guy who was larger than life, obviously. you know, a lot of the things that people don't always remember about Adelis Thomas is what a great special teams player he was, in particular what a great gunner. Made his first Pro Bowl in that capacity in 2003.
Yeah, I mean, it also one of the reasons why this just fits the is a Raven kind of player, a guy that came up on special teams, fought, you know, his way into a role, saw it grow from there, but also be able to be, you know, a really good special teams player too. I mean, the versatility that you saw from Adelis Thomas was, I'm trying to think if I would say that there was another player on the Ravens history that was more versatile in terms of what they might be able to bring to the Ravens team over the course of their career.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you know, Tyus Bowser is kind of Adelis Thomas light. He played a lot of special teams in his career, was a good coverage player, but he wasn't a gunner specifically. And Adelis Thomas just spans this incredible range of roles on the field. in terms of what he did. Remarkable, remarkable player. And even at age 30, still very much in demand. The Patriots ended up signing him to an enormous contract, which is not surprising. It's kind of one of the reasons I knew that the Ravens, that the Patriots were likely to get Matt Judon, was that he just exactly fits what Belichick liked in terms of a 3-4 standing outside linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was good to, you know, you don't want to see some of these guys end up leaving the team, but it's also good to see some of these guys that play at that level be able to go and make some good money in their careers too.
Yeah. And in this case, if the Ravens can't afford him, you want him to be signed as for as much as he can and play as well as he can, probably in that first year, if it doesn't affect you, to maximize that cap pick. And they did get that. Big career with the Ravens. He had 39 career passes defense, 13 forced fumbles, 38 and a half sacks with the Ravens. Think about how long it takes a player to get 38 and a half sacks today. That's not a small amount. He did play 7 years with the team, 7 interceptions. He had 6 defensive touchdowns.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's a stat sheet filler, and this is often true with these guys, is they never rack up a ton of sacks, or they never rack up a ton of interceptions, and then you get to the end of a player like Ray Lewis's career, and he's the only guy with 30 and 30 in NFL history of sacks, interceptions. And Adelis Thomas was that sort of player in terms of piling up lots of everything in his career.
And he was really durable during his time with the Ravens. I think that's, you know, one of the reasons, you know, he becomes a memorable player. And I think, you know, the way the NFL, just the way the NFL is, and the rigor of playing in the NFL and the challenges of all that, to have a guy that missed what I think he had 1 year that he didn't play all 16 games with the Ravens once he kind of got going in his career. And so that's just a, you know, he's a guy you're going to remember for that very, very same reason, because they show up. You got to show up to be able to fill the stat sheet too.
Yeah, that was one of the really sad things about his career was in 2003, when he could have played in his first playoff team, he made his first Pro Bowl. He wasn't available for that postseason game against Tennessee. I wouldn't say necessarily that's the reason they lost that game, but it sucked to be without him. That's for sure. And injured reserve on that game, injured reserve for that game. That really hurt a lot. Mentioned the 2005 thing. I did want to talk about 2006 a little bit, because that was his greatest year with the Ravens. The Ravens defense was at one of their peaks all time. They had their first 60 sack season. Adelis Thomas is a big part of that. He was a three down player, obviously, but a hand in the dirt defensive end on obvious passing situations. And he would move up and play standing outside linebacker seamlessly. And that meant a lot of dropping to cover, a lot of covering tight ends and whatnot otherwise. But he was one of four Ravens that year with 9+ sacks. And I might be slightly exaggerating, it might be 8.5+ sacks in that. But the really first big pass rush season for one of Rex Ryan's defense. And just a very fun player to watch that year in particular.
Yeah, he was absolute. I mean, I think that is the year that, you know, of all the ones that you might remember him for. But really, between, I mean, thinking back to those Ravens teams in general, what a fun era that was to be, you know, true Ravens football in all those senses. And Adalys Thomas really, I mean, the 11 sacks that year are kind of an unbelievable number if you think about it for him and his career.
Yeah, it really stands out. That's for sure. He's got a lot more playing time and completely succeeded in whatever role they gave him that year. And he really earned it after the 2005 season and what he did to bail out Ryan in that season. I know he was one of his favorites. I know Ryan had to kill him to lose him and prior to 2007. But it's just a typical case of a player that they can't afford to keep everyone.
And he was all pro that year, right? Is that right?
Yes, all pro.
Yeah.
First team. Yep. I have some highlights from his career that I'd like to talk about, but why don't you start us off? What's a play or a memory you have about Adalys Thomas that really sticks out to you?
I think it was his first interception. I'm not sure if now thinking back, I'm not completely sure if it was first, but it was a pick on Ben Roethlisberger. And it was one where, as I recall it, Roethlisberger was trying to throw it over Adalys Thomas to, I think it was Hines Ward. And like Thomas just swallows the ball. You know, he recognizes what was it was either a deep cross or maybe an out and comes off a guy that was breaking inside, and Roethlisberger basically just needs to put it over the top of Thomas and it's going to be a wide open completion, and throws it seemingly right into his chest because Adalys Thomas looks so big on the play. And I remember the play enough that I kind of thought, watching the Ravens at that point, I was like, this guy's gonna be something for the Ravens.
Yeah, I think that might have occurred in 2004 in the second game of the year. Does that sound right? The Pittsburgh came to Baltimore. They lost their only game that year. And
that might be right.
Okay. He had two earlier than that. He had one against Jacksonville, another against Cincinnati. But that game in 2004 is really something to remember, that they were able to take care of Pittsburgh. At home, but still, Pittsburgh ended up being a 15-1 team, I believe, that year, and that was the game they lost. And it was also Roethlisberger's first playing time. Tommy Maddox started that game, and then Roethlisberger came in and finished it. And the Ravens won at 30.
Maybe that's my recollection. Yeah, maybe that's my recollection, that it was Roethlisberger's first game, not Thomas's first interception.
I could be certainly. I have another Steelers highlight to recall, and that's from that 06 season. The Ravens, of course, had that 9-sack effort where they beat the Steelers 27-0 right around Thanksgiving. I forget, it's right after or right before, but it's one of those. I know it should be right after 11-26. So anyway, the play that really put the game away, I believe they were up 17-0, I think, going into the second half. And Corey Ivey stripped the football on a sack. Corey Ivey, by the way, that year had an incredible day. And by the way, he's a great player for someone to take for this series. So if you want to talk Corey Ivey, we'll talk some Corey Ivey. But anyway, he stripped the football. Thomas picked it up, ran down the sideline. It's a highlight we're still seeing to this day of Thomas returning that ball for a touchdown, and very much kind of the poster play along with Scott's hit on Roethlisberger from that game.
Yeah, I remember that play in particular, and Thomas was, I mean, it was during that era where if Ed Reed got his hands, like if any of them got their hands on the ball, who knew where it was going, which was infuriating and fun all wrapped up in the same moment. And so kind of all of those things, the fumble recoveries, the touchdowns, kind of like that era of Ravens football, he just fits right in.
A fast break defense they would play. So good to see them doing that, because they really needed to. When you were giving the ball back to McNair or Bowler, either one of those from that general era of 04 to 07, kind of the dark ages, 03 to 07 of Ravens quarterback play, you didn't have a particularly good chance to score. So they did some good things in terms of turning the ball around quickly. How about another one? I guess I got two more on my list here.
Other than like specific plays, and it's too bad that he didn't have kind of one of those signature hit plays of these big, you know, because I think my recollection of him as he played is that he had a lot of big hits, but he never had one of those like moment hits, like when Nada broke Roethlisberger's nose or when Bart Scott laid out Roethlisberger on a sack, or like when Ray Lewis laid out
Mendenhall.
Keller, the tight end from the Jets.
Oh, that
on
too.
That Monday Night Football game. And Darren Sproles. I mean, yeah, Ray Lewis had a lot of those big moment hits, but I feel like Thomas had some big hits, but none that like really kind of a lot of big ones, but none that stood out in that kind of way.
Yeah, I struggled to think of one as well. He had two fumble recoveries in that 2004 season finale against Miami. Very great nose for the football, great second man to the ball player. And the Ravens at that point still had an outside chance to make the playoffs. And I remember driving home in the car and hearing that Peyton Manning was being lifted from the game after they went 3-and-out on their first series. And I'm thinking they just gave it to us in the rear end on that, because they needed to beat Denver in order for the Ravens to still have a chance. And obviously there were some things that had to happen, and the Ravens didn't put themselves in the best position, but it still kind of sucked that happened. And that was one of the precursors, I guess, to them changing to this, you always play a divisional opponent in the last game.
Yeah, for sure.
Got one more play here. I don't know if you remember this one. And this was in the game where the Packers came to play the Ravens in 2005, right around Christmas time. And I remember the thing because they had a promo for the game, because both teams were bad that year. And they're both expected to be good, obviously, but both teams were bad. Favre was at the end of his career in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers had been drafted the previous year. It was just a matter of when in terms of him taking over. And Aaron Rodgers, Favre played bad enough in the first half that Aaron Rodgers got his very first significant amount of playing time in that game. And he returned an Aaron Rodgers fumble that was actually caused by Chad Williams, not dissimilar to the Ivy fumble against Roethlisberger. He returned it 35 yards for a TD. There's only 17 seconds left in the game, but that put the capper on a 48-3 win. And it was a lot of fun to watch that game. But I remember that they had a promo for that game that was like Santa picking up the phone. And he goes, "Yeah, Monday Night Football, I'm watching. Who's playing this week anyway?" Oh, it's like they're making fun of the fact that both of these teams were so bad this year, but they said, "No, I'll watch anyway," kind of thing. And it was a memorable win. The Ravens had two ever. I don't know if it's since been done. There is a way to find this out if you go to Pro Football Reference. But at one time, the Ravens had two of the ever 48-3 games in history were Ravens wins. So. But you can find exact scores if you want to.
Gotta love those random Stratomatic scores.
that is really something that you'd roll up on somebody if you're playing like X's and O's football, or you're playing on a tabletop game of some sort, and the other guy stops caring and also the screen pass for the 11th consecutive time. All right, anything else about Adelis before we close this up?
No, you know, it's just fun thinking back to really those like kind of like 2003 to 2009 era Ravens teams, the Rex Ryan, you know, Mike Nolan led kind of just the, you know, what was it? What did they call it? The radar defense, where everybody was up and moving around and you didn't know who was going to be there and who was going to be where. And Adelis Thomas just being a huge part of how they made all that work and his ability to be able to do some of those things. I mean, you get a little, I think we saw a little bit of that this past year, you know, with some of the versatility that Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith brought in
Kyle Hamilton
pressure. Yeah. And Kyle Hamilton, yeah. And what they're able to do with the line of scrimmage. But it's been a while since we've seen that. And there wasn't really a lot of teams that did anything like that in the NFL around that time. Even when the Ravens were doing it, there wasn't really anybody that does a lot of that, you know, consistently like the Ravens did during that era after that. And so it's just been kind of fun going back and thinking about what those teams were. It's a little heartbreaking to think about how none of those teams really got anywhere, even though they were good enough to, even though they were more than good enough to. But it was fun to think about that era of defensive football, Rex Ryan, Mike Nolan, and that aggressive approach that it's rarely been replicated.
Yeah. The 03, 06, and 08 teams, they're in the second tier of were bothered by it. And the 08 team, actually, I don't think not too many people are really bothered by, because it's Flacco's rookie year and everybody figured, oh, we'll be in the playoffs every year. And for a while they were in terms of getting there. But that 08 team was so damn close and they didn't convert it. It was really a shame if Flacco had been able to put together that great drive against the Steelers, even despite the fact that he hadn't done anything the whole game until then, it really would have made that whole storyline different, because I think they'd have taken care of Arizona in the Super Bowl. Oh, well, always a pleasure talking football with you, Jordan. Always great to have you come on. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at RavensSitRoom. Love to talk Ravens, Dallas Thomas, any of these other guys. And I guess this is a cool series, Ken. So thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. And we certainly will want you, if you want to do another player, that's fine. If you want to talk draft, we'll get you on for a show for that. Jordan, one of the people I really enjoy talking with. And I want to meet more folks who are out there and want to talk particularly about the Ravens teams from before 2000. Now, I just did say this on the last pod, but in case you didn't hear it on that, I'm going to tell you, tell your dad about this series. And I'm really looking for people who want to talk about the 96 to 99 Ravens, because they're the redheaded stepchild of Ravens fandom. If you look at the Ravens media guide, Ravens history began in 2000. If you look at the Steelers media guide, Steelers history began in 1972, you know, with the Immaculate Reception. There was no Steelers organization before that. What are you talking about? But the Ravens need to not forget that part of their history, even though they were, you know, inherited some of it. They still had the great draft picks, great players starting to get good. And I want to talk about some of those. Derek Alexander, Michael Jackson. Let's talk about Ernest Biner and, you know, his place in Ravens history and what that means to us. So if your dad would be interested in that, if you're not of the proper age to talk about it yourself, get him involved. Maybe a new listener for the pod and always happy to talk football with somebody new. Jordan, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.